All right, look, there's plenty of sport, so let's get straight into it. So I'll start off with the World Cup. I haven't watched it yet. I'll be watching a replay when I get home. But so it was 3-3 at full time, and then they went to extra time. Is that right?
No, it was 2-2 full time. Extra time went to 3-3, and
right.
Then the shootout.
So and then the shootout.
Pretty crazy. It was saying, and I agree, one of the best World Cup finals there's been. There's no doubt about that. Plenty of just drama the whole way through. Obviously, Argentina rocketed out to a 2-0 lead. And looking pretty comfortable. Messi got the first goal, which was appropriate, and then they got another one in the 36th minute. So 2-0 lead right up to the 80th minute, where Mbappe got two goals in the space of a minute. And then, so that was 2-2 at full time. And then in extra time, Argentina got the first goal in the 108th minute, followed by France. Spotting one 118th, so 3-3, and then we went to the penalty shootout, which Argentina won in the end 4-2. So thoroughly deserved winners. Amazing tournament from Messi, who was named player of the tournament as well. And Mbappe got most goals in the end. But did you see the tweet too, Darren, that's been circulating over the weekend? A bloke by the name of Jose Miguel Polanco, who on the 21st of March 2015. He wrote, December 18, 2022, 34-year-old Leo Messi will win the World Cup and become the greatest player of all time. Check back with me in 7 years.
Oh, wow.
Look at the date right and everything.
Wow.
It's quite incredible. I don't know how he's done that, but it's legit, I think. And it's been circulated a lot of times on Twitter over the weekend, but that's quite extraordinary.
Right. Gee, imagine being in Buenos Aires right now. I'd be just going cocoa bananas.
Another tweet from Flinders Street Station in Melbourne, and that looks like it at the moment. It's going absolutely off there, so I can't imagine what it'd be like in Argentina itself. But obviously, that's their third World Cup win, adding to 1978 and 1986. So a long time between drinks, but they've finally got there again. And the other controversy as well, I'm not sure if you've seen the photos, was that Messi had to wear this black cape that he was presented with. So all the photos that he'll treasure forever have got him in a black cape that's presented to him after the game.
Right.
By the host nation. So
okay.
That's a little bit disappointing, and a lot of people up in arms about that.
Oh, yeah, well, see, and that's the thing. Like, that man's got to be stuck with those photos for the rest of his life.
Exactly.
Mind you, he's just won the World Cup, so I dare say he wouldn't care much.
Yeah, exactly.
What a player. You know, people are saying that now you can seriously call him the greatest of all time, and probably, yes, I'd say.
Well, that's what someone wrote, too, on social media. He's completed soccer. He's done it all, so...
Yeah.
And that's probably fair enough, too.
Yep, so the fairy tale for Messi. Not such a great story with the A-League and the Melbourne Derby on the weekend. What about that?
Disgraceful, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, when I first saw it, I thought, this is overseas somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You look in the top left and you see Melbourne City, Melbourne Victory. And you go, what is going on here? Obviously, the protests were planned for the 20-minute mark of the A-League games to protest against this decision to move the grand finals to Sydney for 3 years. But that just took another twist, and obviously the flare was thrown on the ground, and when the goalkeeper threw it back into the crowd, that's when it all sort of kicked off, and the LED signs were like dominoes falling down, and all these people were under the ground, and then the goalkeeper was hurt, obviously, and was taken to hospital after that bin was thrown at him, and it was just disgusting. Nothing what we've seen in Aussie sport before, and obviously pretty significant fall yesterday, but I imagine it's going to get worse than that too. So, yeah, what do you say about it?
Well, really, you know, it happens. It's just the problem with, I mean, the administrators must be just tearing their hair out, because it happens, you know, like just when the A-League starts to get some traction and make some imprints into the Australian sporting landscape, people start tuning in to watch, and the games are good, the standard's high, and the game seems to be, you know, the World Cup as well, adding to that promotion of the game, and then they go and do this again. Stupid. Just they're
really
shooting themselves in the foot.
Magnificent month or so for soccer, and then that just, you know, damages it in one moment like that. And, you know, people question the future of the A-League and all sorts of things now. And, yeah, not good. And you see all the greats come out of the game yesterday, talking about it and you know, canning it, which is absolutely fair enough. And yeah, no, there's going to be some significant fallout.
Former Socceroos captain Paul Wade, who's you know been a constant promoter of the game ever since his playing days, back when it was the National League or whatever it was called, and he was, I saw him on TV on the weekend, and he was almost crying. He just said, "I can't keep apologising, you know, for the sport. I can't do it anymore." Yeah. NSL, that's what it was. Thank you, Martin. It's just, they just keep shooting themselves in the foot. Anyway, let's leave that and move on to the test match. So the Gabba green top. Now, I haven't seen the Gabba that green since I was a kid in Queensland. And it was a raging green top and a test match over in 2 days.
Yeah, there's going to be some serious questions asked about this. And, yeah, it wasn't a test match wicket, was it? Let's be honest. And, you know, it should not be over in 2 days. There's no beating around the bush. So, yeah, even, you know, the Aussies chasing that small total yesterday afternoon lost 4 hits in the process to get to what they required, which was 30-odd. So, it hasn't been a great start to the test summer, really, has it? We've had the 2 West Indies games and now this, so you can only hope that the Boxing Day test is going to be a little bit better than that and we actually get some decent cricket. But, obviously some good wickets taken, particularly by Pat Cummins yesterday, and he got 5 for in the end. But what's it mean when it's a green top like that? Hey, it's unplayable, some of those deliveries that were being thrown down.
Well, you know, I just feel sorry for the people who bought tickets like for today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Boxing Day's coming up. What's the word on the Hoff? Do you reckon he'll come back and play or will they just leave Boland in?
We don't desperately need him back, do we?
No, no.
So I don't think they'll rush him, that's for sure. Obviously, Scotty Boland's going pretty well. Any huge rush to risk him to get him back, but I'm sure he'd like to be back, that's for sure. While we're on cricket, Darren, I know they were going to get to the Hurricanes, but what about the Sydney Thunder the other night being bowled out for 15?
Well, it was like watching under-12s cricket.
It was crazy.
I've never seen anything like it, ever.
I was at the basketball the other night on Friday night, so I missed it. And the first glimpse I saw it was on social media, and someone put a picture up, and I thought, gee, Channel 7's mucked up here, they've got the graphic wrong. It's embarrassing. And further than my research, it was spot on, 15 in professional cricket. How? How does that happen?
Well, they should have their match payments taken away for that game, you know. Well, certainly the batters, anyway.
Bizarre. It was absolutely bizarre.
Anyway, let's move on to the Hurricanes. They're playing at UTAS tonight against the Scorchers.
Yeah, they are. So they'll be keen to bounce back after a really disappointing start to the tournament, wasn't it, at the MCG. Came into the season with a lot of hype and, you know, a lot of new recruits and a lot of the same old faces we've had before, so it was a nice mix. And, yeah, unfortunately, we had a pretty flat start. So they'll be really keen to bounce back. They're up against a very good team tonight, though, against the Perth Scorchers, who are the defending champions, of course. So they'll have the work cut out for them, but I reckon they'll be keen to bounce back as well at the same time and show why they're the best list on paper this summer.
Yeah. Tigers women, they play New South Wales tomorrow at Blunston, right?
Yeah, they do. Had a good win yesterday in the first of the 2 games. They absolutely smacked them, which was really good to see. It was, of course, Drew Coleman's first game as the new Tigers coach and really wiped the floor. New South Wales, they've been the powerhouse of Australian women's cricket for so long and bowled them out for 129. My mate Molly Strano, Waterboy's own, 4-15, which was great figures from Molly. And in reply, we didn't lose a wicket in the chase. None for 131. To win the game, and the only downside was Rachel Trenneman, one of the openers, who was looking really good, went off, retired hurt, and Elise Lani came in and finished the job with Lizelle Lee, who was outstanding. So that was a great win yesterday, and really good for the net run rate, I guess, moving forward, and yeah, they get the chance to go about it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Jack Jubbers, beaten by Cairns on the weekend.
Yeah, disappointing one, this one. They were leading for a large chunk of the game, the JJs, but Cairns are a very good team this year. They've got some really athletic players led by Keanu Pinder, who was brilliant the other night, and they got the job done in the end. They just overran us in that last quarter, and we couldn't make up the gap. So they'll be pretty disappointed with that. We're the Road Warriors this year. We're not winning many games at home. Unfortunately, that was our first game at MyState Bank Arena in 42 days, but the good news is, Darren, there's not a lot of time at the moment to dwell on these results because they're in Adelaide tonight to take on the 36ers, which is exciting, and then they're back home on Thursday night to take on the Illawarra Hawks. So it's a flurry of games here over this little period for the JJs, which is good because, we'll hopefully know if we're playing finals basketball or not within the space of a few weeks because this will really set up the season for us if we can win a few games.
Yeah. All right, mate, thanks for that. Catch you on WinTV tonight from 5:30.
Thanks, Darren. Cheers, mate.